from 5,000 feet in Fort Davis to 3 feet in Jamaica Bay, where liberty's threatened in Texas. Count on Pratt on Texas to sound the alarm. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash on this hot Friday in July, the middle of July. Our Lone Star story of the day is the Attorney General of Texas doing a favor to the Texas Unethics Commission, the Clown Court, by not filing suit on some uncollected fines. I'll tell you about that with the inside experience with dealing with the Unethics Commission, and something the media people don't have and nobody else wants to say out loud in the Austin crowd. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. They're your best friend in dealing with the clearinghouse and all your testing things that drivers have to have, being your third-party administrator, getting it all done right. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. Well, Sherry Sylvester, now at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, hops on my bandwagon on my points in a piece titled "The Texas Media War Against Texas." You've heard me describe this exact thing many times before. She has a good piece I want to share with you if time allows. Surpluses and tax cuts, that's all the talk right now in Texas in the political circles. Oh, the revenue estimate's so big, there's so much money. As I remind you, when the comptroller released that yesterday, as I remind you, I interviewed the comptroller a few months back, and he and I discussed how a lot of this money, not all of it, I mean, it's still a big net surplus, but a lot more of it than people want to realize is already claimed by this inflation from the Biden administration just to keep, you know, at current spending levels, which is an example of why, you know, inflation is such a massive regressive tax on everyone. And we've got campaign news out. Today's the filing deadline for all the campaigns, and so the O'Rourke campaigns released a number that sets new records for Texas for a single reporting period and all of that kind of stuff. We'll get to that. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. We posted a podcast extra, as a matter of fact, this morning. We had Dr. Merrill Matthews on the show. We always love having Dr. Matthews on the show. We were talking about different things in the show yesterday. He and I did a longer interview dedicated to welfare reform. His piece in The Hill was "Making Welfare Reform Great Again." Many of you have been around a long time will remember Tommy Thompson and others and the incredible policy success carried through into the state level and then carried through at the federal level with Gingrich that the Democrats have rolled all the way back now, even though it was so incredibly successful, just amazingly successful. Well, we talked with Dr. Matthews about that, and you can listen to that interview. It's free of charge. Just go to prattontexas.com. Up at the very, very top, you'll see a link in the very top menu that says podcast page, and then also right there in the big welcome deal, it'll says podcast, recording of the show, and more here. Just click this link. You can find it and listen, my friends. You can set those up on your phone or any other device to auto-download. Lots of people do that. As soon as something's posted, they get an auto-download, and they do it through this site or through tons of others. I mean, the Apple podcast, we're there, we're in the Amazon, all of that stuff. So you can use that and listen to that interview and more. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. On this Friday, we get the Baker Hughes Drilling Rig Report out. The U.S. rig count went up by a net of 4 to 756 drilling rigs seeking oil or gas. Texas went up by 4 to 365. We were at 222 a year ago this time. Texas adding 4. None added in the Permian, actually. None lost or added in the Permian. The Eagle Ford got one more in some other spots, but the net for Texas was an increase of 4 drilling rigs. Louisiana lost 3. New Mexico lost 2. Again, not in the Permian, though. And California added 1. Despite the fact we keep hearing California politicians say, we're ending drilling, there's oil wells all through Los Angeles and the Los Angeles Basin. The lefties want to shut them down. They got to find them, though, because most of them now are hidden behind fake buildings. I'm kidding. They know where they are. I wanted to mention this little bit of news because I think it's so cool. And the fact is, look, it is true. He's been on the staff for a long time. But, I mean, you know, there's a lot of pride in this. As a Texan, and especially if you're a University of Houston Cougar fan, I love this headline today in the Chronicle. Olympic legend Carl Lewis named University of Houston's track head coach. That's right. One of the most decorated Olympic athletes on planet Earth was named the track and field head coach yesterday. And a longtime assistant Will Blackburn was promoted to the school's director of track and field. Or anyway, it's kind of a notch everybody up thing. Lewis got to University of Houston as an athlete under Coach Tom Tellez, or Tellez, in 1979. I think he goes by Tellez. 1979, won national titles in both long jump and 100 meters before going on to become one of the most celebrated track stars in the world. Carl Lewis is one of two athletes to win 9 Olympic gold medals and one of two to win 4 golds in the same event. He's the only athlete to ever win 10 medals at the World Outdoor Championships, including 8 golds. Carl Lewis has been part of the University of Houston coaching staff since 2013. Their men's teams finished in the top 3 nationally 3 times since 2018. He's looking for a world championship. Is now the head coach of the Cougars track and field is the legendary Carl Lewis. I just find that incredibly exciting. All right, my friends, DNA testing ID'd an executed man as a Texas girls killer back in 1979. In Conroe, Montgomery County, a 12-year-old girl was strangled to death after going swimming in her neighborhood, and the body was found later. She had been sexually assaulted. The CODIS database identified Gerald Casey of Conroe, and then they got some blood work and really reaffirmed all of this. He's already been executed for a murder of a woman during a robbery in 1989. And out of Fort Worth, it's out of Los Angeles, but it's Fort Worth, WFAA says a Fort Worth man's been arrested in connection to several cold case homicides that happened in the Los Angeles area dating back to the 1980s. I think it's 4 different killings there, and they have arrested Billy Ray Richardson of Fort Worth. He's now in the Tarrant County Jail pending extradition to Los Angeles. An Honduran illegal alien has been just like all these gangs and stuff. You know, the left wants to pretend that this border thing is just a few poor people coming to work. Luciana Moreno, writing for Breitbart, Texas, pointed out that this week, 58-year-old Jose Salomon El Chaparro, Madrid Paz, went before a U.S. district judge and got sentenced to 26 years in prison for robbery and weapons charges. He led what they call a rip crew in the Houston area. They carry out surveillance and oversee the rips known as Tumbadores. The group was made up of illegal aliens, all from Central America. They worked for the cartels, and that's what they did. And a whole bunch of them have been prosecuted now. They were carefully planned robberies. They would case out locations over several days, identify cameras, guards, and other security measures. And in a lot of these game rooms, which are just money laundering centers, the members of the RIP crew would pretend to be players while they studied operations. It was, yeah, all illegals, all of them running around engaging in massive crime, armed, you know, crime, very dangerous stuff. And he's been sentenced to prison. I've got so much in the stack today for a Friday, my friends. Just sit back and get ready to listen fast. We do have some fundraising numbers from the governor's race. O'Rourke's is a record-setting number. We'll talk about that in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home.
I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Plan to join me for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets will be on sale soon at LubbockSportsman.com.
He's built companies in Texas since the Reagan reelect, paid personal and business taxes, dealt with regulation at every turn, and all the while been hip deep in Texas politics. A host who has done much more than sit and talk. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. It's the middle of the summer and it's a drought, and that's why it's so hot. You don't have rainfall to cool the atmosphere, and hope you're trying to stay cool best you can. I did appreciate at KFDX, the meteorologist and folks writing a story about, will it be the hottest summer in Wichita Falls history? I really appreciate their realism. They're already notorious for extreme weather. And thank you for remembering this, because I remember this great. It's when I dedicated the fact that I wasn't going to work on a farm. I was going to get a suit and tie job in an office with an air conditioner, and I did in my teens. Summer of 1980 was a lot worse. Set records all over the state, including DFW and Houston, all establishing new record high temperatures that haven't been touched since 1980. Wichita Falls saw its second highest temperature ever recorded in the state, with only Seymour's report of 120 degrees in 1936 and Monahan's 120 degrees in 1994 topping it. That's right, Wichita Falls on June 28th, 1980, we were out trying to cut what little wheat there was. A high of 117 degrees. That's right. 10-day span from July 24th to the 3rd of July with temperatures 110 or above. And then the summer, of course, we remember 2011. That was a big deal. But, you know, there's still a lot of records, lots of records from that 1980 heat wave that hadn't been broken. And, of course, most of those records are all about the 1930s. And many of those haven't been broken. And just don't buy into this cult from these climate change people. All right, let's get to our big political news. The deadline is tonight for all campaigns, PACs, everybody else. Everybody that files has to file their semi-annual report with the Texas Unethics Commission, Clown Court, and that part of it's okay. I mean, it's filing, keeping records, public disclosure. I don't have a particular gripe at the functionary part of it. In fact, it works pretty well nowadays. The online stuff, it's easy to do. Abbott has their people are saying they've raised $24.9 million, so $25 million. They knew Beto was coming in with a really big haul. In fact, they were trying to set expectations high publicly with that Abbott's chief strategist, Dave Carney of Vermont, of New Hampshire, saying O'Rourke would report raising $30 million. They were pretty close, but not that close. But he raised $27.6 million. And Patrick Svitek at the Texas Tribune today says that looks like to be a record amount ever raised in a particular campaign finance period 511,000 contributions. And this is this Democrat fundraising machine. The 98.9% came in online. They've got these systems set up, and there's all these little, you know, a lot of these aren't voters. They're not going to be in the U.S. Average donation was $54. You have to remember that the leftist movement is a global movement. And so you're going to have tons of money for our work from all over the country, much more so than a conservative or a Republican. And so he raised a lot of money. Abbott still has a heck of a lot more cash on hand, but I think this is going to be a very, very big race, very tough. I think it's going to be a 4-6 point race again, unless, you know, strange things happen out there. And that's it. Abbott's campaign's got a bunch of folks that gathered in Dallas yesterday because the Democrat, you know, get ready to fumigate Big D. The Democrats are having their state convention. You know, they were too wussified to do so during the COVID stuff. So they're getting back together finally in Dallas. Bunch of Republicans led by former Supreme Court Justice Ava Guzman, who really, why they got her, these guys talked her into resigning that position and running in this primary. They weren't going to, anyway, for AG, she wasn't going to win that. But she's out leading, talking about how the GOP stands for people of color. She said, our Latino community is experiencing a real awakening. We're on the cusp of change. We won't be taken for granted by the Democrats. Had some other folks there. Andy Wynn, Republican candidate for Tarrant County Commissioner's Court. These idiots wrote commission in here. It's the Commissioner's Court. It's not a commission. Said he left Vietnam with his family in search of the American dream. Says the dream's now under attack by Democrats. Texans will not be fooled by the charade or charade, depending on your pronunciation, tomato, tomato, especially those of us who left persecution, tyranny, and famine behind for the freedom America and Texas offer, Wynn said. Manny Ramirez, who's also running for Commissioner's Court in Tarrant County, and they got it right in that part of the story, said Democrats have made gains in areas like Tarrant County. And he says, though, that the younger candidates are better candidates that the GOP's fielding and are more in line with the people. One of the biggest races everybody's going to be watching that really cares about the future of Texas and Texas politics is the county judge race in Harris County. And remember, that's the key swing vote. I mean, you've got, it's 2-2 on commissioners, and then the county judge, kind of like in Lubbock, where the rumors are that that supposedly a bunch of conservatives are looking at raising their pay again, the elected officials' pay, including commissioners and county judges. I'll tell you where that stuff comes from. It comes out of that county judge's office. He's the swing vote. You got, you know, it's not, it's the county judge that matters so much. And this Lena Hidalgo in this, her surprise election, taking the giant Harris County judgeship. Well, she's got a real election on her hands. And that Hobby School of Public Affairs at University of Houston poll shows this race extraordinarily tight. If only 5% undecided, Democrat Hidalgo, 48%. Republican Del Moral Miller, 47%. She is extraordinarily impressive, too. To young Hispanics, you see. This is really something. So it's 1.5% undecided. This election should, because it's a midterm, really suppress Democrat turnout just because they don't know anything's going on except every 4 years when so many of their base drones think we're having an election for a king. I mean, seriously, they don't know anything. If you've ever block walk, got out, watch these interviews, that's what they think. They don't have a clue what's going on. So their turnout should be a little hampered by it being a midterm. And this is a very, very close race. The Del Moral Miller had a 31% advantage with white voters. 66% of black voters preferred Hidalgo. Harris County's 69% white, 44% Hispanic or Latino, and 20% black. We'll see how it breaks. I think Miller's military service and other things are really going to help here. And she seems very sharp. That's going to be a big one. I mean, and the other, and I'll tell you, it shows how much this little AOC clone that the media fawns over is not as well liked because, for example, the Democrat Sheriff Ed Gonzalez, who just gave up on being the director of ICE, you know, Biden had appointed him over and over to be ICE director. This guy has a net favorability rating of 16% there. But Hidalgo's only got a favorability rating of 7%, plus 7%, and Del Moral Miller, who's really new on the scene, 17%. So the fact is she's going to be a good performer, and that's a key election for Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk a little bit about this so-called budget surplus, or, you know, tax our money. More of our money going into the state's hands than they expected due to the economy and, of course, oil and gas. And we mentioned, I've already spoken about this a couple of times this week. The comptroller came out and said $26.9 billion surplus cash in a revised revenue estimate. I was really glad to see Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick come out yesterday late with a statement basically pointing out, look, the first dollars of that, $4 billion, and it needs to be more, Dan. But $4 billion goes to property tax relief, which means buying down these school taxes more. And I like this one. Permanently increase the homestead exemption to $60,000 and then increase it to $100,000 in future years. That is an absolute, ought to be one of our biggest things there as long as we're still under this property tax system. And he wants to suspend the gas tax for the remainder of 2022. And there's some other things in there. But that's the real point. Very large property tax cut. Well, maybe. The governor has to fight for it behind the scenes, and that's yet to be seen.
It's the talk of Texas. Proud on Texas.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at HurleyBenefits.com, H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Listeners know that Isabel and I beef up at Raider Red Meats. We love their hamburger patties, sausage, steaks, brisket, even pre-smoked and sliced brisket ready to heat and eat, and their spicy barbecue sauce has become our favorite. Raider Red Meats provides the best tasting, best quality beef, pork, and lamb. You can keep up with great specials and sales through Raider Red Meats' Facebook page, too. Learn more at RaiderRedMeats.com or visit their Texas Tech campus store in Lubbock, where we shop.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. You truckers and fleet owners, they're the go-to people. You need to be working with them. They're very affordable, and they do very good personal service. They deliver very personal service with your DOT testing regs. Be your third-party administrator. They help you even run the clearinghouse stuff for your fleet on your own, but they'll help you make sure it gets done properly. So get in touch with them, AlliedCompliance.com. They sponsor daily our Lone Star story of the day. And today, I'm the only one in Texas telling you this or asking you this. I guarantee you. Is the Attorney General doing a favor to the Texas Unethics Commission, the clown court, known as the Texas Ethics Commission, where ethics are not, it's sort of like trying to get a Democrat leader now to tell you what a woman is. They can't seem to define it because they're all around it. So I call it the Unethics Commission. Is the AG doing a favor to the Unethics Commission by not filing suit on some uncollected fines? Now, what prompted this, Pratt, you may ask? because you don't do press review like I do every day and subscribe to all these liberal newspapers and hurt every single time you give them a penny because, you know, you're funding the beast. Anyway, the adversary, as some translations do it in the Bible. The reason is the big Hearst newspapers, Chronicle, Express News, all those. Big piece out there, Austin Bureau posted yesterday late, Taylor Goldenstein. Here's the headline. AG Ken Paxton, remember, there's going to be constant things about Ken Paxton. I told you the Bush thing. If Bush had won that deal for attorney general, all of a sudden, instead of him being a nice guy, it'd be what McCain learned. It would be stuff like this. Everyone, and of course, Bush is just full of scandals at the land office. You would be seeing all these stories. Well, yeah, we got an election coming, so they're going to find stuff out of nowhere at the big media outlets. This is part of a plan, and that's what you're going to see, stories like this regularly on all the Republicans. AG Ken Paxton declines to sue candidates, comma, officials who owe $700,000 in unpaid campaign violation fines. And I will just tell you that the Attorney General's doing the Unethics Commission in the state of Texas a favor. All you the good government types, if they interview in here, they're too dumb to know what's really going on here. Now, here's a sample of the story. For the past 2.5 years, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's declined to sue hundreds of candidates and elected officials who altogether owe more than $700,000 to the state in unpaid fines for campaign reporting violations. Remember, these aren't even ethics things in a lot of cases. Many of these things are where some of them are, and there's two Democrats. The two Democrats lead the list and always have since I've been at this. It's been Democrats at this top of this list. But remember, some of this stuff is a fine for doing something when you tried to do something right. I've sat in the public hearings. I remember where they did everything right. Even called down there and did everything right. And these people didn't matter. Find them anyway. I mean, in other words, they followed the spirit of the law to make sure everything was disclosed. But these people, being bureaucrats, didn't care and fined people for other stuff. And so you get a lot of outside groups that don't even exist anymore. PACs, they owe money. This $700,000 is an inflated number. Most elected officials simply use campaign donations to pay their fines. That's why they don't fight it. They just roll their eyes and move on with this clown court. Here's more of the story. The Texas Ethics Commission levies the fines against candidates and elected officials who, for example, fail to file reports on their campaign fundraising and spending in a timely manner. Other violations include filing inaccurate or incomplete reports, misusing campaign or public funds for personal benefit. Now, that's a prosecutable thing there. Or producing and distributing misleading political advertising. And it says later on, refusing to collect the fines is the latest exhibit of the antagonistic relationship between Paxton and the Texas Ethics Commission. One thing is, Paxton already knows there's no ethics at the Texas Ethics Commission. It's just a clown court, folks. I'm telling you, they don't get it because they're too full of themselves to understand, and these reporters don't either, that he's inadvertently, whether, you know, it's intentional, just payback or not. And by the way, this is stuff that goes on between state agencies all the time. It's how the legislature for years, our Supreme Court and Court of Criminal Appeals, the two Supreme Courts, had literally torn carpet in the main areas and everything for the media and the world. It was just tit for tat stuff. Legislature back in the Democrats ran it, was mad at the courts, didn't like court decisions, so they just wouldn't keep their offices, you know, let the toilets overflow over there in that building. This is just the way it works. So, of course, they're trying to pin this on Paxton. They don't realize he's doing them a favor. Says Paxton didn't respond to a request for comment, but in the past, which this has been going on, as I tell you, has called the agency indefensible. Quote, all of our decisions are guided by the same principle. We take the duty to defend the state seriously and routinely defend agency enforcement actions whenever consistent with our duty to uphold the Constitution. That's what Mark Rylander said in 2018 as spokesman for the AG's office. Quote, however, we determine those two duties are in conflict. Our first obligation is to defend the Constitution and the basic rights it guarantees to each and every Texan. He's talking about in conflict with the behavior of the clown court, the Unethics Commission. By the way, they talked to Chase Untermyer, former chairman of the Ethics Commission, who I've sat in front of before. He's not a former Republican state rep from Houston. He's a smart guy, but he said he was surprised to hear no suits had been filed. that the AG's office has always had a threshold of it being big enough to file suits, and that's okay. He says, in theory, I think the AG's office should represent the Ethics Commission and carry out both the spirit and letter of the law, but I recognize they have limited staff and very practical and perhaps financial reasons they may limit or put a floor in the amount of times they consider enforcement. Undermires the guy that took that his position there, wait. Well, just none of the, it's laughable. And then they do cover at the bottom of the story, of course, the top two Democrats are the debtors. And the first one doesn't surprise you. It's State Rep Ron Reynolds, the ambulance chaser attorney down in Houston, and he's never pays up. He goes $65,000 in fines. He didn't have enough campaign donations to pay it with that. And then somebody like Marilyn Mazey or something who's about to be sworn in as a Dallas County criminal court judge in January after winning the Democratic primary and having no GOP challenger, she's got fines over 42,000 Democrats. And then they kind of buried in here the real excuse for the AG's office, where they're talking about two Democrats are top debtors. The second paragraph in that section, Texas has limited options when it comes to financial repercussions. It can put a hold on a candidate and elected official's financial accounts with the state, if they even have them. But unlike other states, we don't do tax liens or garnish wages. Good. If that is ineffective, it must decide whether to file a civil suit requesting a judge to order payment. And then what are you going to do if they don't pay? See, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get sued. Folks, I've been a businessman my entire life. You can see people and win a judgment for debt. Ever collecting on that judgment is darn near impossible. I'm just telling you. If they're crooked types, don't care. You're never going to get it. And that's the line here. Even this, Texas' most aggressive tool, the filing of the lawsuits for pursuing delinquent filers, is seldom effective. They buried that in the bottom of the story, but then constructed a narrative that Paxton's not going after people. Well, he's not wasting our money, but I'm telling you something you're only going to hear here at this point. I sat in the hearings for which there's no record that you can review, because I fought back at these clowns, because I got punished for doing what's right, not lying on a report. And they just, it's, I don't want to go into the details. It's crazy. I fought them. We eventually, the chairman, I think it was Undermeyer by that point, because it went on for years, actually from the dais in the record, which is sealed, talks about my integrity being unimpeachable and that I did nothing wrong and I tried to do things right. But it took over 2 years and lawyers to get there. Let me tell you, these people, you don't want them taking this stuff to court if you believe in finding these politicians, because once you're in court, it's going to be very easy to expose the absolute running roughshod of rights, of procedure. I mean, the chairman, when I was in there, didn't even read the own stuff, didn't even know I had the right to question the other people. And then while we were in there questioning, they didn't like me questioning them because it took them off their narrative, and they changed the rules in the middle of a hearing. The AG's saving. He's saving them from themselves and exposing how they violate their own rules.
Patience is a virtue. Brad on Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Texas owned and operated for 109 years, Vista Bank has grown 83% in the last 3 years because of our amazing team members and clients. So thank you, West Texas, for your loyalty, trust, and for earning us, Texas's top Main Street lender, best of community banking, best Bank of Lubbock 3 years running, and best companies to work for. Looking for a local bank? Maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank. Entrepreneurs banking entrepreneurs since 1912.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
Here's a man who feels sorry for those needing to make their country great again. Texas has always been great. It's Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pride on Texas, my friends. I mentioned Sherry Sylvester. I doubt she realizes she's jumping on a Pratt bandwagon, although I know she's been a listener of the show from time to time for a very long time. She, for many years, was Dan Patrick's political consultant. She's now the Texas Public Policy Foundation and has been a guest on the show. Sherry's really jumping on something that I've been saying directly for years, over and over, and in the last 6 months, I have said very specifically, or headlined, the Texas media war against Texas. Remember me talking about that directly? That this is the whole, it's all so convoluted. And she even picks up on a story I picked up on this and marked it up too, and then didn't have time to bring it to you. But it's one of the type of examples I've brought you. So here's her piece. When I saw a June 30th Texas Tribune story headline, State Education Board Members Push Back on Proposal to Use, quote, involuntary relocation, end quote, to describe slavery, it was immediately clear that it was riddled with inaccuracies, misinformation, and blatant left-wing propaganda. But it was such non-news that it hardly seemed worth the effort to challenge it. Yeah, that was, I left it in the stack too. I think I may have mentioned it, but that was it. The Texas media, particularly the Texas Tribune, she writes, is dogmatic and unapologetic and cannot be reasoned with or even shamed into caring about the truth. But then the story, misinformation and all, was picked up nationally. And the San Antonio Express News, Hearst, published an equally uninformed and outraged editorial complete with a 48-point headline, big giant letters, and it became imperative to point out the facts. The media uses several tactics to create and repeat false narratives day after day, both in the stories they write and in the stories they ignore. How many times have I told you that? In the Texas Tribune story about the Texas State Board of Education, the SBOE, it's clear how they've made 2 plus 2 equal 5 by reporting a tidbit of non-news and linking it to a left-wing narrative. Here's the opening line. A group of Texas educators have proposed to the Texas State Board of Education that slavery should be taught as, quote, involuntary relocation, end quote, during second grade social studies instruction. But board members have asked them to reconsider the phrasing according to the state board's chair. The, quote, group of Texas educators, end quote, were volunteers who were making suggestions to the professional historians who advised the SBOE on curriculum. As soon as the term involuntary relocation was pointed out, it was immediately rejected by everyone in the meeting. It is not clear from the news report why the SBOE was looking at what was essentially an unreviewed draft of some suggestions from these teachers. But whoever proposed the term involuntary relocation did not defend it. The volunteers were told to go back to the drawing board. There was no discussion or debate regarding the term involuntary relocation, and there was never any chance it would show up in a Texas classroom or textbook. Still, CBS National News reported that Texas officials proposed changing slavery to involuntary relocation, and Forbes magazine joined dozens of other media outlets in repeating and adding new misinformation to the Tribune news story. Their headline was, Downplaying Slavery, Texas Educators Will Call It Involuntary Relocation. Brian Lopez, the Tribune reporter who wrote the story, he's a hack, intentionally created this controversy by embellishing his news story with several statements from other educators who were adamant about the inappropriateness of the term involuntary relocation. He gives the impression that it was only their outrage that stopped involuntary relocation from being substituted for slavery in Texas public school classes. If Lopez had been interested in reporting facts, he could have added that the term involuntary relocation was in a section of the proposal entitled, quote, Enslaved People in America, end quote. He could have also talked with any of the prominent historians who are actually developing the content for social studies curriculum and given his research some insight into that process. He might have also explained that the new social studies guidelines for K-12 were being developed for the first time because the SBOE decided this spring that history will now be taught in every grade. Previously, history and social studies were only taught in Texas in the 4th and 7th grades. Instead, he explained that slavery's not currently taught in second grade. You get the mistruth there? We've never had that in the second grade curriculum, history of any type. But how did he phrase it for the world to read it? Texas doesn't teach slavery in second grade, as if we're covering it up. By throwing the word slavery into his story, he can then falsely blame Senate Bill 3, the ban on using critical race theory as a basis for instruction in Texas public schools, for the involuntary relocation wording. But again, it had nothing to do with that. It was a group of volunteer teachers at Nuttall presented it, and immediately everybody there said, well, I'm not using that. Republicans never stood for that. Nobody debated it or anything, but that's what the stories make you believe. Going on with Sherry Sylvester's piece, he chooses words like dictates to suggest that Senate Bill 3 restricts or even prohibits teaching about slavery in Texas schools. In fact, Senate Bill 3 makes it clear that slavery and the issues surrounding it must be taught. A few of the minimum requirements for history students include learning the basic facts of the Civil War, reading the writings of Frederick Douglass, reading both Fugitive Slave Acts and the, quote, history of white supremacy, including the institution of slavery, the eugenics movement, and the Ku Klux Klan, and the ways in which it is morally wrong, end quote. Reporter Lopez at the Tribune then returns to a familiar and inaccurate talking point for him, that Texas conservatives are restricting the teaching of slavery in schools in reaction to critical race theory, which he insists is not being taught in Texas schools. To, quote, prove, end quote, his point, he links to several teachers who insist they never teach it. He ignores the fact that Texas public schools have frequently been found to use the precepts of critical race theory, which states that racism permeates every American institution and all white people are racist, whether they know it or not. In fact, SB 3 ensures that in Texas public school, no child can be blamed for any action because of their race. It also affirms that no child will be regarded as a victim solely because of their race or ethnicity. In order to get in one more slam against conservatives, none of whom are quoted in his story, he finishes his phony narrative that the teaching of slavery is restricted in public schools by noting that both the Texas governor and the lieutenant governor have announced their support for the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill, in which he says limits classroom discussion about homosexual people. As everybody except the left-wing press seems to know, that Florida legislation limits discussions of sexual orientation or gender identity, sex identity, in kindergarten through third grade. There's no prohibition against saying gay in schools in Florida, and few seriously question that it's inappropriate for teachers to discuss sexual orientation and gender identity with 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds. But the Texas Tribune goes with the inaccurate spin rather than the facts to feed their false anti-Texas narrative. It's difficult to say what is the most inaccurate and biased news outlet in Texas, but the Texas Tribune is always a top contender. Folks, she called it the Texas media war against Texas. How many times have I explained this exact same thing to you? You know, recently I've localized it and talked about the Houston Chronicle. The energy capital of the free world, as it's always been known, its entire economy depends on these giant energy corporations, and yet their local hometown newspaper has hired people across the board now who are openly, weekly, in their columns and stories, it's not to be inferred, directly attacking the fossil fuel industry and saying we need to get rid of it, hobble it, you know, cut it down and go with the greeny weeny stuff. That's just a localized example. Be the same thing as if you lived in Lubbock, the people, you know, their problem is they send anybody at the paper. But if they sent there and attacked cotton farming all the time. You know, or if in Abilene, your newspaper's entire editorial and column focus on a regular basis, or one of the main narratives was that private higher education was bad because, you know, it's anti-democratic, all the things that the socialists have always hated about it. And yet this goes on. The Texas Tribune and the rest of these outlets, and they hire these people that aren't really, don't seem to be Texans, not all their writers. Svitek's a good political writer. But that's their narrative. And Sherry Sylvester, welcome to the bandwagon, because we've been talking about it for years and years here. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all and keep us cool and bring some rain. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pride on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.